Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on this edition of Are You Ready for Some Football, the divisional round is here. But before we get into the division round and the upcoming matchups, what'd you guys feel about Wild Card Weekend overall? Chip, I know you're happy.
Yeah. Roger, go ahead.
I mean, for the most part, pretty much everything was almost to the script. I just feel like, you know, the Dolphins did not get the right script, unfortunately. So we'll have to see the dismal Chiefs still playing in the championship game or the divisional now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it will be Patrick Mahomes' first playoff game not at home in his entire career.
Yeah. So we'll see if that has any factor into how well him and the team play. Yeah, so that being said, yeah, let's just kick it off with the first game, the Saturday game that took place. The first Saturday game in which the Houston Texans just beat the hell out of the Cleveland Browns 45-14. Amazing, you know, turn of events. CJ Stroud becomes the youngest player in NFL history to win a playoff game as a rookie.
Youngest quarterback.
Well, not youngest player, youngest quarterback. You know what I meant. You know, throwing 274 yards and three touchdowns on the day. Devin Singletary, you know, ran his ass off for 66 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan, and Dalton Schultz all with just – and that touchdown pass that CJ threw to Dalton Schultz was just on the money, perfect, just beautiful, beautiful touchdown pass. It was almost like Cleveland tried to get into a rhythm early, and then they were completely shut out in the second half. Chip, I think I know the answer to this question, but how did you feel overall about the Houston Texans beating the Cleveland Browns in this game?
I absolutely loved it. I predicted it to happen. I said on last week's show that this is a different Texas team than the same team that played the Browns just a month ago. A month ago, they were without Will Anderson. They were without Jonathan Greenard. They were without C.J. Stroud. You know, they're major key playmakers. And, you know, the team also had a little added incentive thanks to Stephen A. Smith. You know, he literally went on Pat McAfee's show and said, hey, this team has no chance against the Browns. C.J. took that shit personally. He was on the McAfee show and he says, oh, we've got no chance. All right. And he went and balled out.
He did. It was a damn good game from CJ Stroud, and everybody on the team did a really good job. Roger, overall, how'd you feel about this win?
Like I said, sort of everything pretty much was to the script. I expected the Texans to win easily, and Joe Flacco put up great performances when it mattered, but when it came down to an important game, just over there throwing picks left and right.
Yeah. Oh man, them two pick sixes. I don't ever remember a time, and maybe if you guys can remember it happening beforehand, of people throwing back to back pick sixes. I don't think that's happened in a while.
It's been probably 20 years, maybe.
Yeah. Like it had to have happened sometime in, like, I mean, we're talking about like a Ravens defense or a Tampa Bay defense, maybe, but yeah, I mean, but yeah, that was some pretty good. I mean, my God, who was it that made those interceptions? Let me go back and look real quick.
Figured Chip would Will Anderson was one, wasn't he?
No, it was Steven Nelson got one, and Christian Harris got the other.
Yeah. Both of them just beautiful, just straight to the end zone. Yeah, and it was a really, really good game by the Houston Texans. So congratulations to them. They now move on to play the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to play the Ravens. But let's let's just move on to this one. The Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs playing in Kansas City in Arrowhead, and the Dolphins, they got beat down 26-7. You know, Patrick Mahomes and that defense did really, really step up good in this game. Not a big performance, according to Patrick Mahomes' standards, not a big performance, 262 and a touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco And Rashid Rice probably had the best game of his whole career, 8 receptions, 130 yards and a touchdown. And Isaiah Pacheco running for 89 yards and a touchdown. Miami just could not get a rhythm going. Tua with 199 and a touchdown, but he also threw that interception. The running game was almost non-existent. Tyreek Hill, you know, did what he could, 5 receptions, 62 yards and a touchdown. But there was really, like, I mean, with Ethan, you know, like Ethan Bonner and Brandon Jones both caused fumbles in this game, but, you know, it wasn't like there was anything good that came of it. Yeah. So Kansas City pretty much just dominated this game. How do you guys feel overall about it?
I didn't think it would be as dominant as it was, but I do have a question, and I've seen this question posed a lot over the last couple of days.
Okay.
How was Patrick Mahomes allowed to stay in the game after his helmet broke? And how were the Chiefs allowed to switch equipment mid-game without calling a timeout?
Mm. I don't know. I mean, was this a TV? Did they do a TV timeout after happened?
Nope.
It happened. It literally, he goes for the run. He lowers his head, cracks a Dolphin defender helmet to helmet, which should have been a penalty on the Chiefs because Mahomes lowered his and led with his head. His helmet like cracks, a piece of it flies off. He gets tackled, goes down back to the huddle, and the refs come running out and stop the play, and they make him change his helmet. But they did not make the Chiefs take a timeout. They just stopped play. They stopped the clock, stopped the play clock, stopped everything. And I've seen a lot of people questioning the validity of that, like, because it's never happened before. Anytime a player has to change equipment in the middle of a game, the player has to exit the field or the team has to take a timeout.
Right.
Yeah, and the refs just allowed him to go off field.
I mean, I guess that's the perks of being the poster boy of the NFL, right? It's the perks of being the face of the NFL. I don't understand what that decision was about. You know, I would have preferred, run to the sideline. Or if anything, take the timeout. I mean, hell, it's not like you're losing the game. It ain't like you have any, you know, at that point, you guys were kicking our ass. So, you know, but it is what it is. But
you're only 7-16 at that point.
Yeah. Dolphins still had time to come back.
Yeah. But that defense, the way that defense has been playing, I've said it before in previous episodes, and I'll say it again. This is the best defense that Kansas City has had since Patrick Mahomes has become the starting quarterback. And I think it is. I mean, they've allowed less points this season than they have in years past. Except for when they play the new Raiders team, not the Josh McDaniels Raiders, but Antonio Pierce one. Yeah.
Antonio Pierce. Yeah.
If he's not the coach of the Oakland, LA, damn it. The Raiders next, but at some point next year, dude, then I'm going to be upset. Cause that team has looked so much better with him as the coach, I think.
Just a tidbit on that. Max Crosby has officially said that if Pierce is not hired as the head coach, he's requesting a trade.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing, which it is, we are talking about the Davis family. So, I mean, would he be like, would it's not Al Davis, it's his son. The one that looks like Chucky. Mark Davis. If Mark Davis, let's say it doesn't happen and Max Crosby does request a trade. Does he just let him go wherever he wants to go at that point? And what
kind of, if you're able to unload that payment.
Think about the trade. Like, what could you get for Max Crosby though? If you're looking to get
with
rid of
the
Crosby,
way he's playing right
and,
now,
second and third rounder picks.
Yeah,
I would. Shit,
you're not Max, even a first out of him.
Not even a late first.
Nope, you're good to get like a second, a late second, and a third round pick.
Yeah, you're going to get multiple picks, but they're not going to be first rounders.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting a first rounder. You're giving up somebody else and Max Crosby.
Well, hell, who knows? Who's to say that Max Crosby's not the only one who feels this way? Maybe Max Crosby's just the only one that said it. What if Josh Jacobs feels the same way? What if Davante Adams feels the same
Josh
way?
Josh Jacobs wants to go already.
Well, that's true. Well, I think a lot of that had to do with Josh McDaniel more than, you know, anything. But it also could deal with the fact that the running back position in a lot of people's eyes is a dying position that needs to be revolutionized. I agree 100%. But moving on to the Sunday games of this week, we had two Sunday matchups. We were supposed to have three Sunday matchups, but, you know, weather permitted, and, you know, Buffalo decided they were going to have a snow party in Buffalo. But
to be honest, I'd rather have 2-2-2.
Yeah,
I like it that way as well. Yes. But let's start off. The Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. The Green Bay Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys 48-36.
Yeah, but that score is not indicative of
what
how
really happened. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. It was 48-16 with 6 minutes left to go.
Yeah. The Packers fucked around and let them almost come back. They pulled their starters with 6 minutes left to play, and the Cowboys decided, oh shit, it's we got a game to play, and then the Packers put their starters back in there. But the Packers dominated this game from start to finish. There's no questions asked.
They scored 27 unanswered in the first two quarters. Like, my God, man. Like, play something. What happened to that defense that played week one, week two, week three? Like, where's that defense at? They were nowhere to be found.
They didn't
nowhere to be found. Nope, they didn't. Roger, what about you, Bubba?
The one thing that bugged me about this game so much is just how much confidence it gave Chad and Jordan Love.
Yeah. Jordan Love, 272 and three touchdowns. Fuck Aaron Jones, though. He just had 21 carries, 118 yards, and three touchdowns on the day rushing. No big deal.
But that's crazy. You know? He got 118 yards. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Total rushing yards, they were at 143 overall. Excuse me. And then Romeo Doubs literally comes out of nowhere and has the game of his life, six receptions, 151 yards and a touchdown.
I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere. That kid's kind of been
– he's like the number two for sure.
Yeah, Romeo Doubs has been making plays all year.
But because he plays on the Packers, he kind of flies under the radar?
Well, because of Christian Watson and Jordan Love, yeah.
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 Even though I don't think Christian Watson did anything this season, to be honest.
Not really.
He really didn't have a good season. Jair Alexander had the interception. Darryl Savage with the interception, ran it 64 yards back for a touchdown. That was another nail in the coffin of the Dallas Cowboys. This another question that's been going around, especially about the Cowboys, is it time to move away from Mike McCarthy?
Yes.
I would say yes. I don't think it's going to happen because that's three consecutive 12-win seasons that he has produced.
But he's ass.
I agree. people are also questioning whether the Cowboys should move away from Dak Prescott.
I mean, yeah.
I can't give an honest answer to that. Could he go somewhere else and be just as good? Maybe. I don't know. So they'll probably stick it out for another season.
But my thing is, people are blaming Dak for the game. He threw three touchdowns with two interceptions, but where was that great defense? Where was Micah Parsons and what's the cornerback with the most interceptions?
Deron Bland.
Yeah. Where the fuck was he at? Where were they at? Where was that defense at?
They didn't show up.
They didn't show up. And that's over here trying to throw it down the field. CeeDee Lamb was missing passes. I mean,
golly, that drop on third and, third and four in the second quarter. I'm like, bro, Like, that's easy money for you. What are you doing? You know,
Dak Prescott threw 60 fucking times.
Mm. Yeah.
403 yards.
How many of those times were in the last 15 minutes of the game, though? I mean, I'm sure that he had a whole lot more attempts in the fourth quarter than he did any other time.
Let's see. This is first. I don't think I have to go through the breakdown thing, but I mean,
the analytics. what do the analytics say about the attempts per quarter? I guess would be the best way to say that. Yeah. Well, I mean, 41 completions on 60 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not like he wasn't trying to get the team down there, but.
Right. Hell, the
quote unquote playmakers, the position players, the skill players, they just weren't. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, he wasn't.
He didn't even get a touchdown. I mean, he was getting down the field, but he just wasn't scoring.
Yeah. Nine receptions, 110 yards, but he was targeted 17 times.
Yep.
Like, holy shit. Jake Ferguson had 10 receptions, 93 yards, and three touchdowns. He was the only one that scored all three of the touchdowns that Prescott scored through.
He was the only dude on their roster that was really getting open in key moments. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mike Gallup was 6 for 6 on 103 yards.
Yeah.
But, like I said, like, everybody wants to blame Dak. Like, oh, where was he at? Like, just fucking throwing the ball. That's where he was at.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
We don't defend Dak here unless we have to, because this is not on him. I don't say this is all on him, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the defense let that. When you give up 27 unanswered, that's a problem.
To the Packers.
Yeah. A team that has not been good all year, but like we've talked about on previous episodes, if you get hot at the right moment, we've seen wild card teams make it to the Super Bowl and win it. So, you know. Like,
the thing that makes no sense to me is also, how did they let Aaron Jones run so much?
Mm-hmm. Especially with Micah Parsons and.
Micah Parsons was almost as non-existent in this game.
He has two tackles and only one solo tackle. They touched the quarterback once. There was only three, quote-unquote, hits to the quarterback.
Well, and I think one of those hits to Jordan Love was a penalty.
I think so. But they had zero sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Green Bay had four.
Yep.
Sacked Dak Prescott four times.
The best defense can't – I mean, we saw what the Chiefs did to the Eagles last year was the best defense, not letting them have a sack, but it's the fucking Packers.
And you know what's funny about that? The Packers had more penalties than the Cowboys did.
Yep.
So you got more sacks, you took more penalties, and you had this game pretty much won in the fourth quarter. And the only reason why Dallas couldn't make a comeback is they ran out of time because they scored 16 in the fourth. But at that point, damage is done, dude. Even if by some weird miracle, the Cowboys were able to come back in the fourth quarter and win, I don't think it would have made a difference because it just showed the Cowboys' weaknesses. Show tenacity for coming back from a strong – dude, no one takes you seriously now. The way that you got your ass handed the first three quarters. But,
They would have had to have scored 32 points to tie in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen. They were lucky to score the 16 in the 6 minutes that they had.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah. So, yes, the Green Bay Packers become the first seventh seed to win a playoff game since they implemented that system of a 17 playoff. So moving on from Green Bay and Dallas to the Saturday night game. I'm sorry, the other Sunday night game between what I think was probably the best game of the wild card matchups, the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams. Detroit pulling off the victory, a close one, 24-23. Really, really good, hard nosed. I mean, they literally went at each other this whole entire game. You know, Matthew Stafford, 367 and two touchdowns. So he came to play, you know, Puka Nacua set like the rookie receiving record for a playoff game with nine receptions, 181 yards and a touchdown.
I think it was the Rams rookie receiving record.
No, it was the NFL.
It was the NFL's rookie record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff, you know, not too shabby, 277 and a touchdown. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, both with touchdowns, 57 yards rushing, 25 yards rushing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 of 110. But it was Sam Laporta tied in, who's become very popular over the course of the last several months, I feel. He got in the end zone in this game. Yeah, how did you guys ultimately feel about the Lions defeating the Rams?
The Lions almost lost that one. It was their game to lose, and they almost lost it. Had Eminem not paid off Matt Stafford, the Rams would have won that one.
Oh, boy. What say you, Raj?
No, that was definitely a close one. We said it before, Detroit's got a great offense, but the thing they lack is a consistent defense. They have great key pieces where they need them, but they were just letting Puka Nacua do whatever he wanted. They weren't getting to Stafford enough. I think they only had two sacks, and I mean, they had seven hits on the quarterback, but nah. I just feel like, I don't know. They stopped the run game, but they could have stopped the passing game. And it just makes no sense to me.
Right. So here's the question. Because of the season that Puka Nacua has had, is he trying to solidify himself? Is he the number one receiver in L.A., or is it still Cooper Kupp?
It's Cooper Kupp when he's healthy.
Okay. Okay. Because I feel like Puka's going to be the next guy. Like, we don't know, especially with the – I don't know if people look at Cooper Kupp now as he's injury prone. I don't think he is, but he just had a bad couple games where he did get injured.
I mean, he was out all last season.
Right, exactly. So maybe Puka Nacua, you know, among the rookie receivers is definitely you know, top tier in terms of rookies and stuff. But
he's number one rookie receiver.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It makes the like, it's so strange because I remember, I still think that C.J. Stroud will be Rookie of the Year, but I think Puka Nacua is a very, very close second. I think he did amazing this year as a rookie wide receiver.
So one of my friends suggested that they should do a rookie MVP, like they do regular MVP and an Offensive Player of the Year, rookie MVP and then Rookie Offensive of the Year. Because obviously, rookie MVP would be C.J. Stroud easily. Yeah. But Offensive Player, since C.J. Stroud wins MVP, would go to Puka Nacua for that.
Right.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, me too. And defensive one will either be Will Anderson or that kid out of that fucking kid out of Seattle. What's his name? The cornerback. I can't remember it off the top of my head. Which, I mean, they're going to have the nomination soon here in a couple of weeks anyway for the NFL honors. So. Of course, and we will be covering that, by the way, here, and then we'll discuss whenever that time comes. But moving on from this game, congratulations. This is the first playoff win by the Detroit Lions since 1991. So
32 years.
Long time. But, yeah, so that being said, let's move on to the slew of Monday night games that just took place, and we'll kick it off with the first one. The Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Buffalo just whooped that ass 31-17 in a game that really wasn't even that close from the start. You know, Buffalo scored three straight touchdowns. Then, you know, Pittsburgh kind of had a comeback there a little bit in the middle, and they're just like, nah, we're just going to end this real quick. Mason Rudolph did okay pedestrianly, you know, 229 yards and a touchdown. Oh, two touchdowns, I'm sorry. But the Bills, Josh Allen, just being Josh Allen, 203 yards, three touchdowns. He also ran for 74 yards and got a touchdown. Dalton Kincaid, 59 yards receiving and a touchdown. Buffalo just did Buffalo things. And I feel like they're on their they got hot at the right time. They beat Miami when it counted. Now they're beating, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, the seventh seed, but still, you know, they made the playoffs. And now they're fixing to go back to, they're going to stay in Buffalo, and now they're going to have the Chiefs to them instead of them going to the Chiefs, which is going to be different. But how do you guys ultimately feel about Buffalo beating Pittsburgh?
I mean, it was expected. I don't think that the score would have been as lopsided as it was had TJ Watt not been injured.
I agree.
You know, and as well as he's been playing, like, Ducky is not – they need a quarterback. Obviously, we know it's not Kenny Pickett.
That Prescott.
I mean, he might be able to do let's be honest, he might be able to do something in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
Honestly, it'll probably be Justin Fields because Chicago's going after Caleb Williams.
Well, yeah. Well, Caleb Williams has come out and said that if he wants assurance that they're going to trade away the number one pick because he and his agent have said they do not want to play in Chicago.
Nobody wants to play in Chicago. They have no offensive line.
Exactly.
It's crazy that the top prospect, you know, he's doing the Eli Manning thing. You know, Eli Manning didn't want to play in San Diego. Then he ended up getting traded to New York, and then Phillip Rivers got the San Diego gig.
It worked out for Eli.
Right, yeah, it worked out for him.
It worked out for Big Head Jr.
He's just not that big.
No.
It still feels enormous.
That's why I said Jr. But, yeah, I mean, nobody expected the Steelers to win, but I do think that had T.J. Watt played, the score would have been a little closer because he would have been able to, you know, stop some of those runs and probably get after Josh Allen a little better.
Right. What about you, Raj?
I mean, is Buffalo being the Buffalo we thought they'd be at the beginning of the season instead of this six-loss fucking team?
Yeah.
Surprising to me still that they lost six times. Makes no sense. But they did beat the Chiefs earlier in the season, only by 3 points. But like Vin Diesel said, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. A win is a win.
It is a win. Yep, exactly. Yep. But moving on from Buffalo and Pittsburgh, we're going to talk about the game that I was both surprised by but also a little bit excited about. I'll put it this way. I was more surprised by the way it happened as opposed to why it happened or how it happened. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Philadelphia Eagles 32-9.
They beat the shit out of them.
They beat the dog shit out of I don't even – look, even Piper's laughing, and she doesn't even know what we're talking about. I mean, Jalen Hurts did what he could, 250 yards and a touchdown. There was hardly no running game at all because DeAndre Swift only ran for, 34 yards. Devontae Smith actually had probably the best game he's had this season, 8 receptions, 148 yards. No touchdowns to speak of, but he had good. AJ Brown was non-existent in this game.
Well, because he didn't play. He was injured.
Exactly. Dallas Goedert, had the touchdown, but – that's pretty much it. I mean, and of course, Britton Covey and Julio Jones both fumbled the ball away.
And Julio got hurt and went out like Julio got first hurt, quarter, yep. I think.
Yeah. But Baker Mayfield, 337 with three touchdowns on the day. That one to David Moore was just an incredible catch overall. Trey Palmer had a real good catch. The Chris Godwin catch where Baker got hit but had enough wherewithal to throw the ball up and it just fell into the lap of Chris Godwin. It was just a beautiful pass. How'd you guys feel overall about the Baker Mayfield-led Buccaneers beating the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, me and Chip are fans of Baker, so.
Yeah. I mean, you remember last week I said, look, I'm going to be the odd man out, but I think the Bucs beat the Eagles.
Right.
And they did. The Bucs defense stepped up.
No, wait. I picked the Bucs to win last week.
I'd have to go back and listen because I've got you down as Eagles winning.
I may have picked the Eagles.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen and maybe swap that. If it's true, but the Bucs defense showed up. Now I will say Jalen Hurts was without his number one receiver in AJ Brown, But nobody else stepped up, you know, to take that spot.
I mean, Devontae Smith did.
But he's always kind of there, making, you know, he got the touches that he should have been getting all season because AJ Brown wasn't there.
Yeah, but I mean, their backup was fucking Julio Jones, so.
And then he got hurt. Darius Slay got carted off on a cart. That was a nasty hit there. But Dallas Goedert got hurt. There was a lot of injuries to the Eagles players. They just, you know, the Eagles decided to get cold at the wrong time. And unfortunately, that was probably Jason Kelce's last game in the NFL, and you could see how much it affected him emotionally.
Yeah, you could definitely see it. And I think it didn't they already say that he had told the locker room already that this was going to be his last game?
Yeah, that he retired.
Yeah, Adam Schefter reported that. But yeah. Adam Schefter also reported, was it last season, that Jason Kelce was going to retire and he decided to come back. So,
but he did, he was, like, even on the podcast, he said he was going to retire. And I think Travis sort of convinced him to play one more season.
Yeah, I think that's what it was too. Overall, man, he's had a great career. He's one of five centers to make more than six Pro Bowls. So he's definitely a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I think he's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
You know, I think he's the second best center of all time.
Followed behind John Otto?
Nope. Jeff Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. Even though I hate Big Head, he protected Big Head's Big Head.
Yeah. I can see where you're going with Jeff Saturday. I mean, I would prefer Mike Webster from the Steelers, but I get what you're saying. But yeah, Jason Kelce's definitely going to be up there in Canton one day. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is the wild card weekend. Let's move on to something else that I wanted to touch up with you guys about, because we are, as soon as the season wraps up, I do want to preface that, but last week, before we had the opportunity, we were talking about coaching changes and things of that nature. Pete Carroll has been let go as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. He was moved into an advisory role.
He left his coaching position and moved to an advisory position.
Yeah. So basically,
they fired him without firing him.
Basically. But then you think, okay, who's going to replace Pete Carroll in Seattle? Would it be somebody of – Would they come together and say, hey, let's figure out who we want to be as the head coach? And will it be more of on the Pete Carroll decision? Will it be more on the team? Like, where do you guys see it happening? What do you guys see happening?
Well, we know it's not going to be Harbaugh, because I think he just said he's going to sign an extension.
With Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they're mulling it over because he wants to put a no fire clause in this contract.
Yeah.
Can you do that in the NFL?
It's college.
Oh, you mean in the college?
Can you do that in college, though?
Yes. You can do that. You can put any kind of clause.
Sucks, you can't get fired. Like, you went 0-13, and you're the reason why the team sucks, but they can't fire you because you put it in your contract. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
That's why they're mulling over.
Yeah. That's the dumbest thing ever. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of coaches that, you know, like we talked about it last week, you know, Mike Vrabel could be going somewhere.
Unemployment line?
No, I think he'll
get it. He's definitely in the unemployment line right now.
Yeah. He's got money. I don't think he's in the line of the unemployment line, but.
He doesn't have a job, so.
He's still got more money than I do.
You can be unemployed and have money.
Yeah. He'll definitely land. I think he'll land somewhere before too long. I really do think that.
So as of right now, the Seahawks have requested 8 interviews with coordinators. Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn.
Yep.
Houston Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
Las Vegas Raiders defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. I hope he does not leave, because that team needs him right now.
Exactly.
Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator Frank Smith is also. Yep. But those are the eight leading candidates. So I guess they're just keeping it with guys that are already in the league instead of trying to find somebody new in college or anything.
Yeah.
Well, and also last week we talked about the possibility of Vrabel taking over the head coaching position in New England if Belichick got fired. Now, Belichick did
quit.
He didn't get fired, but he quit. He's leaving the Patriots organization,
for the
and
Falcons.
They have already. That's a possibility.
That's a rumor, yeah.
It's between him and Kirby Smart right now.
I don't think Kirby's
Kirby. Say it's Kirby. Yeah, Kirby wouldn't leave Georgia.
Well, Kirby's had two interviews already.
Huh. Yeah, but that's because he's a local guy.
Yeah, and it's probably just a courtesy thing, probably.
But I think Belichick will actually go to Chargers, to Los Angeles, because if I was him, I'd leave the fucking cold and never go back.
Right?
Yeah, but so the Patriots have officially replaced Belichick with Gerard Mayo.
Yep.
So, good pick. Yeah, I like that.
Kept it in-house and a young leader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's an interesting scenario that came up. I think it was brought. I can't remember if it was First Take or Undisputed that brought it up. But if for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to happen, but let's just say, hypothetically speaking, since we're already dealing in hypotheticals, let's just keep going down the rabbit hole. If for whatever reason the Dallas Cowboys decide to part ways with Mike McCarthy, what are the odds of Bill Belichick coming in to be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
I don't think he wants to put up with Jerry Jones.
That was my thought process as well. Because when he was in New England, he was coach and GM. You come to the Dallas Cowboys, you're just the coach, and Jerry is pretty much, you know, calling all the rest of the shots. But no, I don't think it would work out, to be honest with you. What about you? You think?
No, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't know. Oh, hey, so just announced Jim Harbaugh has interviewed with the Chargers.
It was a courtesy interview. He already set up before he made that contract thing.
Yeah. It's just a quick walk in. Hey, how you doing? You know, hey, what should we look for in a coach? Maybe, you know, which I mean, Jim Harbaugh was not, I mean, let's just say just for sake of argument, he did go back to the NFL. He didn't do a bad job in San Francisco. You know, he helped lead the team to the, I mean, he got a Super Bowl appearance out of it. You know,
he also had a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
yeah.
My thing is Saban a possibility for anybody?
I don't. We already had that experiment in the NFL once. I don't know if he'd want to go back and try it again.
Yeah, but it's different now.
Yeah, it's different. I have said this multiple times. I think that the reason Saban left Alabama is because not because he's not a good coach. It's because of the new like transfer portal and NIL deal system. So not only do you have to have a good recruiting class, but you have to, you know, 24/7 keep your eye on NIL deals and transfer portal. And that's just a lot of work for a college coach now.
Especially with what it was, Florida State had 13 transports right before their game against Georgia.
Yeah, so I was okay when the transfer portal first was announced. I liked it, but now seeing it actually being abused like this, there has to be a lot more restrictions and stuff added to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I say you have to at least be on a team for 2 years before you can make a move.
Right. You know, or maybe if you're, you know, I mean, like if you go from like a Division II to a Division I, like I can understand that because you're moving up in – you know, I guess the rankings or whatever. Hell, or even if you wanted to move, like, you know, maybe you want to move from maybe a Power 5 conference to an HBCU, or you want to move from an HBCU to a Power 5 conference. As long as it's like there's different tiers. You know, you want to go to an Ivy League school or whatever. But it's like, oh, well, I played at Florida State, and they didn't give us a chance to go for the national title, so I guess, fuck it, I'll transport over to Washington or Michigan or whoever. You know, it's kind of a – I don't know how to explain it. Like it's good for the players because they're able to, I guess, capitalize financially on, you know, who they are in terms of the NIL deals and stuff like that. But then once you become, it's like, okay, I'm getting this NIL deal here. What if I decide to go into the transport portal? I can just go over here to this college, maybe because they're going to give me more money on an NIL deal or something like that. So it turns college football into more of a business in a sense. I mean, not that it's not a business already, but it's like, I don't know, maybe in a weird way it helps kids deal with negotiation in terms of the money once they get to the NFL. I don't know, but I think it's a slippery slope, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And it's scary. Very scary. But anyway, that being said, though, let's go over Tankathon real quick. Obviously, we've talked about it before. We've already went over the first 18. You guys already know who the top five are. Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago, Washington, New England, Arizona, and the LA Chargers have the top five picks. The newest set of picks have been initiated. At number 19 will be the LA Rams. At number 20 will be the Pittsburgh Steelers. 21 will be the Miami Dolphins. 22 will be the Philadelphia Eagles. 23 will be the Houston Texans, be by way of the Cleveland Browns because of the trade. And 24 is the Dallas Cowboys, with 25 through 32 being determined as the playoffs continue. In terms of the mock draft, they still believe that Caleb Williams will be drafted number one overall to the Chicago Bears, followed by Drake May to the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels to the New England Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Arizona Cardinals, and Brock Bauer to the LA Chargers. I still feel like if what is being said is true, that Caleb Williams doesn't want to go to Chicago, would Chicago not sit there and think, and this was just what I was thinking, I was talking to Chip about this last week, it may have been the week before, why not go ahead and keep Justin Fields and draft him Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, and have that tandem work out. I mean, it's Ohio State, you know, kind of connection that they got. You know, it's worked for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. It's worked for Tua and Jalen Waddle. Like, you know, see what happens. I personally think it should be Marvin Harrison Jr., but I don't even know if he's declared yet.
He has officially declared.
So shit, if he's declared, dude, again, I would take him number one overall. Because I think he's the best wide out in college football right now. Him and Malik Nabers a very, very close second. But yeah, I think that, how are you guys thinking it's going to shape up?
I mean, I think that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. And it's really going to depend on, you know, how hard Caleb Williams pushes. He still hasn't actually declared mm-hmm. for the draft.
He officially declared today.
He did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's that hard date where you have to declare by a certain day.
He officially did it today, I believe.
Okay. So I don't think he's the number one quarterback in the draft, but I think he's going to go number one overall. And it will depend on whether he goes to Chicago or a team is willing to move up to get him at number one.
I think Chicago should go for Drake May. I think he is the better quarterback overall.
I do too.
Caleb Williams has shit throw mechanics. I watched a highlight video showing his best plays and his ability to throw hard. He throws his whole body into it without actually doing good mechanics. You could do that in college, but you come to pros, you're going to get hit one time and it'll fuck your hips up.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels has the ability to be, I think, number one. I don't really like this quarterback class is really just those three quarterbacks, Williams, May, and Daniels. But Penix Jr., provided that he can stay healthy, he could possibly be a top 10 pick as well, depending on
He's not going first round. I said it last week. That kid has had four season ending injuries. He's had surgery on both shoulders and both knees. And if you actually watched the Michigan-Washington national championship game, he was barely able to get off the field. He's not a first-round pick. He's second, late second to fourth.
Also, I think that Bo Nix isn't getting enough recognition either.
No.
He's definitely
I agree.
Not.
Well, I mean, as of now, they got Bo Nix going in the second round, 43 overall, to the Atlanta Falcons.
You know what? We can just get him. Oh, Broncos just fucking draft him.
Well, I mean, the Broncos, you guys are sitting at number 12. And according to Tankathon, it has you guys picking Leiatu Latu, edge rusher out of UCLA.
We should just go ahead and if there's a quarterback, if Bo Nix is available or if somebody fucks up and lets Jaden Daniels fall that far, we should definitely get him.
Yes.
Since we're bullshitting with this Russell Wilson experiment, go ahead and bullshit. Go ahead and get to somebody else.
Well, let's just say, I mean, all indications are saying that the Washington Commanders are going to draft Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. But what is the – you also got to think, if you know, because they're still looking for a head coach.
Mm-hmm. They have him. They haven't announced Eric B. yet, but they have him.
Right. But, but here's my question, okay? But here's my question. Will Eric B. draft a Drake May, or would he say, you know what, we've only had one true year with Sam Howell. Let's see what else he can do. Then does that mean that Drake May drop? Let's just say for whatever reason, they don't take Dre May at number two. Let's say they take maybe if Caleb Williams does get drafted to the Bears, which I don't see happening, you know, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. gets that spot, you know, whoever, you know, I mean, could Jaden Daniels possibly fall all the way down to 12? Or would Michael Penix Jr. fall down to 12? You know? So
my thing is, it'll be – if this way Caleb Williams is being right now, he'll go to Washington. I think that Chicago will be like, all right, fuck you, whatever. We don't need the headache. Just take Mayo. Or, yeah, Drake.
May.
Mayo, yeah. Drake May. Sorry. They take him. I feel like he's the better quarterback anyways out of the two. Caleb Williams falls to Eric B. Caleb Williams tries to emulate Patrick Mahomes. Eric B. will work with that. Fucking get his fundamentals down or anything like that. Yeah. I think from there, I mean, the only other team that really would need a quarterback at that point before us would be maybe the Cardinals are done with Kyler Murray.
I don't think they are either.
I don't know either. Yeah. And I mean, New England, maybe they're like, oh, a new regime, new quarterback.
Would you say maybe the Falcons?
No, because yeah, the Chargers aren't going. The Chargers aren't. The Giants aren't going after a quarterback. The Titans aren't going after a quarterback. The Falcons might. SportsIllustrated.com has them picking Michael Penix Jr. at 8, which I think would be a terrible pick.
But it's Atlanta, so.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Tankathon has them taking Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama.
Yeah.
They definitely need defensive help.
They need defensive help, but they need to find a quarterback. Go.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Chicago has the 9th pick. The Jets at 10. Could they? I don't know what they're going to do.
The Jets need offensive line help as well.
Yes. Yeah,
but I assume they're going to rock with Aaron Rodgers again next year since he basically didn't play this season at all.
Nope.
Got four plays in and then crumpled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 11 is the Minnesota Vikings, and the front office and head coach there in Minnesota have already said that they want I just lost train of thought of what that guy's name is. Quarterback in Minnesota. No, the quarterback.
I thought Mullins was a quarterback.
No, the one who got injured. Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
They want him back.
Yeah. Well, he is going to be a free agent this offseason.
Oh, they're going to get him for cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the top 10 free agents going into 2024, two of them play as quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, which is Kirk Cousins and Joshua Dobbs.
So, well, Dobbs is always a yearly pickup.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Garner Minshew, Joe Flacco, Mason Rudolph, Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, and Joshua Dobbs.
I don't think Baker's going anywhere.
Oh,
I think,
no, Baker, no.
I think after making it to the divisional round, setting the playoff passing and touchdown record for the team, because no quarterback in Tampa Bay history has ever thrown for over 300 yards and three touchdowns in a playoff game.
Including the GOAT.
I mean, he didn't have to, though.
You're right. He didn't have to.
They had Leonard Fournette actually playing like Leonard Fournette was right. playing for
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Right. So. Exactly. I mean, in terms of running backs, too, you just brought up Leonard Fournette. But in terms of running backs, you know, the top 10 that are right now who could be free agents. Top 12. I'm sorry. They got 12 here listed. Is Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, Antonio Gibson, and J.K. Dobbins. Oh, why did it cut that? Okay, never mind. But yeah. So Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, and all that. Derrick Henry could be. I don't. That's the thing. He's 30 years old now. Would they want him to be in an every down back like he used to be, or do you think they'll probably put him in like a third short situation type running back?
Depends on who he goes to. Because right now, there's a lot of options, I think, that would fit Pittsburgh's weak offense, I guess, would be the best way to say them. Because yeah. Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs would be perfect for Mike Tomlin in general.
Yeah.
I think Gardner Minshew would actually be really good for him over there, too.
Oh, yes. I do, too. Absolutely. They definitely need something over there.
Yeah, but I think Indianapolis is going to keep him as their backup.
Yeah, I mean, he just
because of good how for well him. He how well he did for them this season.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. I mean, Austin Eckler is also available, so I mean, it really depends on what everybody's seeing as the future of the running back situation.
Position. Yeah,
because I hate to say it, but Steelers depend on a running game.
Yeah,
that's like their thing. They depend on a running game. They're a great play-action team. Mike Tomlin sets a great play-action sets anyways. Just doesn't have the right quarterback for the system.
But also, I mean, the fact that Matt Canada was so inept as the offensive coordinator for those first 8 weeks that they played and pretty much stifled Najee Harris and what he was able to do in the running back game. Hell, Najee Harris didn't really have like a true breakout game until week 18 against the Baltimore Ravens, and they didn't even play the majority of their starters. So, yeah. What's going to happen with that situation? Could you bring a Derrick Henry in pair him with a Najee Harris in Pittsburgh? That might be something that people could look forward to. You know,
I think it's time to unload Najee Harris to somebody else.
Where would you put him though? Who would be? I'm sure there's some teams that are willing to take him if their running game is maybe so. Like, I mean, I could see him maybe playing in Arizona, maybe, you know, maybe back
Carolina.
Carolina. Yeah. I mean,
Carolina will take anybody right now.
Right. You know,
I mean, they made Adam Thielen their number one. So,
hey.
But no, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of options. I think it depends. In a smart, logical sense of doing stuff, I think Steelers have a great pick of free agents that would make their team a lot better and probably even get them past the wild card, even past divisional with Mike Tomlin as their coach, because that man don't fucking lose season. So I think think about Josh Jacobs running with Mike Tomlin's system.
Ooh, that'd be nasty, dude.
Because, I mean, he Josh Jacobs is not afraid to drop the shoulder. We already know that. So he'll grind out. That's what their style is. And, I mean, you'd even have Najee still back up, be third down back or anything you want to, and just pitch it outside for speed.
Because just look at how good Le'Veon Bell was in Pittsburgh and how bad he was once he left that system.
Yep. Yeah, it was bad, dude. But that's free agents. That's the draft upcoming predictions, mock draft, if you will. Fuck it. Let's move on straight to the very next segment, which is the divisional picks. Chip, what are we looking at, Bubba?
Well, we're going to start off with the Houston Texans versus the Baltimore Ravens. This is going to be on Saturday. So we have two Saturday games, two Sunday games. Now, Baltimore is a 7.5-point favorite with the over-under being 43.5. I think that's a little low for these two teams. But where are you guys going?
Go ahead, Raj.
My heart wants to say Texans because I love the – we all love the underdog story. And, I mean, it would just be great to continue what this team's – went from last year to this year to make it this far and to beat the arguably the best well-rounded team in the NFL at home. But the Ravens are the best overall team in the NFL. I would have to go with them.
My heart's telling me the Texans, my gut's telling me the Ravens. And I think the Ravens, I think their defense is a little bit more stacked. In terms of, I think they have better corners overall. I think Marcus Williams and Humphreys and, you know, all them, you know, Patrick Queen as linebacker, like, I think they really do have a lot of great pieces. I think CJ Stroud will put up a hell of a fight. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. But I still got Baltimore edging. And I hate to say that. I really love, like what Roger said, I love the underdog story. But, you know, I got to go with Baltimore on this one.
Well, obviously, you know, you guys already know I'm going with the Texans to win this one.
Absolutely.
This is a completely different Texans team that played against the Ravens in week one. Now, they are going to still be without Tank Dell, which is, you know, their most prolific receiver. But you still have Nico Collins. The defense is playing very well. Mm-hmm. Just look at last week when they played against the Browns, Derek Stingley lined up across from Amari Cooper and he allowed -6 yards to Amari Cooper the entire game. Yep. Laremy Tunsil lined up against arguably one of the best rushers in the game in Myles Garrett and allowed 2 quarterback pressures and no hits the entire game. This defense is no joke. The offensive line has really, really solidified themselves. CJ's ability to make plays with the ball is insane. I think the Texans are going to edge this one out. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like what you've seen the Texans do to the Ravens by any means. I think this is going to be
You mean the Browns?
Browns.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Browns. Sorry, I'm fucking shivering cold over here.
You ain't got a little space heater up there?
Man, it don't work. it's on, but when it's -32 degrees, a little bitty space heater ain't helping nothing.
You get one of those big old kerosene furnaces.
Long tube heaters. Yeah. Like they have at RCW back
old,
in the day.
I got my old man blanket on over here and everything.
Is that electric blanket?
No.
So you need an electric blanket.
I can't do electric blankets. Jesse used to have one and it caught on fire with her under it.
Damn.
Yes. But yeah, I think the Texans are going to edge this one out by a field goal. Maybe, you know, it's definitely going to be a one score game Texans way.
It'll be a hell of a story if the Texans win. It will be a hell of a story if the Texans win. Because then how do you root against them? You know what I mean?
Oh, people will still find a way to root against the Texans.
Yeah.
They do it all the time. It's okay. Chad's also going to go Ravens here.
Okay. I think more people hate the other Texas team than the Texans. But, you know, but that's for a different story.
Yeah, I don't know. So the next game up, we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers, where the 49ers are an 8.5-point favorite with the over-under being 50.5. Where are you guys going?
I'll ask this question real quick. Does the confidence that Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, does the confidence in beating the Dallas Cowboys help propel them into this game against the 49ers?
I think they come in with swagger, but it's going to be hard to out-swagger the 49ers right now.
In terms of physicality, I definitely think the 49ers are the more physical team. I definitely think they're the better overall team. They definitely have better weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense is way better, I think. Not that Jordan Love can't put up points, and I think the 49ers will be more successful stopping the Packers running game than Dallas was, I think. It's a good story, you know, good for Jordan Love. I think they have found their quarterback of the future in Jordan Love in Green Bay. So we'll see what happens in later years, but I'm going to go 49ers to win this game. What about you, Raj?
I am going to go 49ers. There's a man out there on that field that no matter what, as long as he's playing, I will root for her and believe that the catalyst of that team is CMC.
Okay.
I don't know if the Packers have an answer for CMC unless they injure him. I would say their run defense is mediocre, but I mean, the way they played last week, their defense is number one in the world. So I have no idea what's going on with that, but I think CMC having a week off, getting his body a little bit better, George Kittle the same way, Brock Purdy getting probably focused and ready to see. Maybe he's going to get his revenge for being injured last year in the playoffs. We said it before, since earlier in the year, 49ers are the team to beat going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that whole dynamic works. Do I think it's going to be a blowout? I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I definitely think they're going to win pretty handily.
Yeah. So that's going to be 49ers across the board. Both Chad and I are going 49ers. Cool. I don't really have anything else to input other than, you know, more than what you guys have already said. So, next up, man, this is our first Sunday game. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Detroit Lions, where Detroit is a 6.5-point favorite with the over-under being 48.5. Where are you guys going?
Go ahead, Roger. You go ahead.
Well, since last year, I've been tooting the horn for the Lions, and here we go. Only took a season and a half. But no, and honestly, I still have to go with the Lions. They have that momentum. It's in Detroit, so it's going to be cold, which will affect. I mean, we saw what the cold did to Miami, so the cold in Detroit will affect the Buccaneers. It's probably the same way.
Yeah, but they play in a dome. Yeah,
they play in a dome in Ford Field.
Hey, you don't think they're not going to cheat?
Cut the air conditioner on.
Exactly. You don't think
the windows open.
You don't think they're going to make that bitch cold as fuck? I would.
I would.
They've always played in a dome, though. They've always played in a dome. So,
yeah.
It's the Silver Dome, brother.
I believe the door's open, fucking crack a window pane or something. Like, we're going to make this bitch cold. Right. I still think that the overall, because, I mean, the Bucks will have to travel probably 2 days before to sort of get acclimated. It's still going to be fucking cold for them.
Oh, yeah. They haven't already left already.
Now, hey, we said it before. If you really want to prep, leave a week ahead.
Yep.
But the confidence the Lions had after that game, especially for Jared Goff, beating the team that did not believe in him anymore and said he wasn't that guy anymore. But, I mean, Baker's on the same way right now, coming back and beating people and showing teams that, hey, he still has it. I mean, he's only in his, what, seventh season, eighth season? He did four with Cleveland. Six seasons. Damn, he's not even been in that long either.
He got drafted in 2018. So
I mean, he's still showing that he's still able to do it. And he's not just a guy that can go around. But I mean, he has that mentality we say of wanting to win, bringing a win mentality no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's going to the man who made that the DNA of the Lions, and that's Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
This is going to be probably the game of the week, to be honest. 48.5 points. I feel like I might go over that. But I'm on Detroit just because I've been rooting for them for too much. I can't go against them.
I've also been rooting, you know, secretly for the Lions as well. I feel like this team is a team, maybe a team of destiny might be too strong of a phrase, but I definitely think that they're a team. They're always fun to watch. I do feel like Tampa's going to give them some trouble. I definitely feel I'm not really fucked up about this matchup either way. If Detroit wins, awesome. They deserve it. If Tampa Bay wins, awesome. Baker Mayfield's proven everybody wrong. So either way, it works. But if I'm going strictly just team by team, point by point, piece by piece, I also got to go with Detroit. I'm going to put it to you this way. I feel like in terms of Tampa Bay, I think Baker Mayfield wants it more because guys like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and, you know, Levante Davis, like they've been there before. They've won their championship before. Not to say that they're lackadaisical or that they don't care any less, but Baker Mayfield doesn't have a ring, so he wants it more. But you look over at the Detroit Lions, nobody over there has any experience except for maybe a few players that came in here and there who may have some playoff experience. That team wants it more. The team itself wants it more as opposed to the other team who maybe won it, but only has that one player that wants it more, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with Detroit to win because I feel like as a team, they want it more.
So I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm riding with Baker. I think the Bucs are going to pull this one out. I absolutely love, you guys know, Roger, you know, I've really been rocking with the Lions. And I believe that they're going to be something special. I just don't think this is their game. I think Baker is on that fuck everybody train, and I'm proving everybody wrong.
The ultimate revenge tour.
I have after what the Bucks did to the Eagles, I just don't see the Lions having anything for them. It's going to be a shootout for sure. But I got the Bucks winning this one. I'm going to be the guy that goes against the grain here. And you know what? If I get this pick wrong, it's not going to hurt my feelings because the Lions deserve it as well.
Right.
So Chad is also going to go Lions here. So, you know, I'm odd man out. It's okay. Right. And then our last game of the divisional round, we got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills.
Fuck them both. Oh, they both lose.
Where Buffalo is a 3-point favorite with the over-under being 45.5.
Is that 3-point? Are they the 3-point favorite because it's a courtesy of them being a home game?
Yep.
Because, all right, so, man. Roger, you go ahead because I need to think about this one for a second.
I'm going Bills. I picked them as my early team anyways for the Super Bowl. I'm still going with them. Although the Ravens are probably going to be the ones, unfortunately, over the Super Bowl, but I still want the Bills to win. I'd rather see Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. And I think the Bills keep getting fucked over in the playoffs, and I want them to finally get their win.
They do.
I think there's always this thing with the Buffalo Bills, especially over the last several years. If they're not going to win, when are they going to win? And when has that window of time passed? You know what I mean? Are they actually going to step up? Are they actually going to make an AFC championship game meaningful and actually win it and go back to Super Bowl, which hasn't happened since the early 90s. Or late 80s, early 90s. But I hate to say this. My head is telling me that it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and even though I'm sick and tired of the Kansas City Chiefs, I just got this weird gut feeling. It might be indigestion, but I just got this weird feeling that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to end up pulling off this win by hook or crook, maybe crook, that I feel like this is going to happen that way. I would love to see Josh Allen and the that team just go through and finally break through and have the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. But there's a part of me that's like, it's not going to happen. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to steamroll through everybody. So, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to go Kansas City in this one.
You're going Chiefs here.
I am.
I am also going to go Chiefs here. And this is based solely upon the Chiefs somehow always find a way to screw the Bills in the playoffs, and that's, I feel like, what's going to happen here. Even though the Bills are playing at home, it's going to be, you know, cold as all get out. Let's see, what's the projected temperature? Hold on, I've got it right here. The projected temperature for the Chiefs-Bills game is scheduled to be somewhere around 20 degrees. So not going to be too bad. I mean, the Chiefs are used to playing in cold weather because they don't have a dome.
Right. So, well, they're used to playing in cold weather, but playing in snowy weather is probably a little bit different. And it's going to be the very first playoff game in which Patrick Mahomes is not going to be playing at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting to see what this team is going to be when they're on the road in a hostile, because let's be honest, man, playing in Buffalo is a hostile environment, as any team that has to go and play in Buffalo, especially with the weather being, if for whatever reason it does this, it does snow. When it snows in Buffalo, it snows heavy, you know. Yes. And when it snows heavy, you know, which is the whole reason why the game on that was supposed to be on Saturday got switched over and moved to Monday because of the heavy snowfall. Playing in the snow is different than just playing in the cold, you know. But I do think that Buffalo will put up a good attempt. But I don't know. It's Kansas City is the new England Patriots. You know, they're the team that wins. You don't know why they win. You don't know how they win, but fuck it, they win, and you hate them. You know, like, I just want to see somebody else besides New England. I'm calling them New England because that's the way I look at them now. You know, I just want somebody other than Kansas City. You know, maybe I'm a hater. I don't know.
Yeah, you are.
So, and then Chad's going to also go Bills. So it's Talon and I, Chiefs, Roger and Chad, Bills here. So
I don't like the pick, though. Like, I honestly don't like the fact that I made
you
that pick.
You hate it.
I know, but that don't mean I have to like it.
Yes, you do.
You still have a chance to change it right now.
I'm not going to change it. I would rather be wrong in this pick than be wrong, in a sense. I'd rather say, yay, Chiefs, go Chiefs, and then they lose. Fuck yeah, you know. But, no, I'm still going to ride with the Chiefs on this one. I don't want to, but, you know. I feel like they're going to win it. But, yeah. Aside from the what do you guys feel like the best game of the week will probably be this week?
I think they're all going to be really good.
Well, we said that last week, and five of them were blowouts. So
doesn't mean they weren't good.
That didn't mean they weren't good.
You celebrated, Cowboys getting crushed.
But that was God's work. That had nothing to do with anything.
I mean, the Texans-Browns game, even though it was a blowout, the Browns were still, like, heavily invested in that game. It wasn't like they just stopped playing. Well, like they just gave
up, pretty much. Right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like all the wild card games were really good games. Even the Eagles-Bucks blowout, the Eagles were still – I mean, Jalen Hurts was trying his ass off to get some points.
Right.
You know, so –
I think they're all going to be good. Let me ask this question instead of what you think game. What game are you most looking forward to? Texans Ravens.
Bucks Lions.
I would say probably Bucks Lions.
We know yours is Bills Chiefs.
Maybe. No, well, I mean, I got Paramount, so that's probably the one that I'm going to end up watching.
Yeah. Are they all going to be on? Aren't two of them going to be on Paramount?
I think two's
on Paramount. Two's on Peacock.
Peacock, yeah. I think it's two and two. Just one Saturday night. And one
Let's see. The Texans Ravens game is going to be on ABC, ESPN Plus. Packers Lions is going to be on Fox.
I forgot there's four fucking studios again.
Yeah. Bucks and Lions are going to be on Peacock, and Chiefs Bills are going to be on CBS/Paramount+.
So I'll be watching Sundays all day.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Are You Racist of Football? Who do you guys think is going to win the wild card? The divisional rounds. Let us know in the comments down below. Chip, anything you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
as always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
You got anything you want to say, Raj?
I've been peeing a lot. Stay hydrated, folks. Stay hydrated, stay warm.
There you go. Yes. It's cold out there in them streets. Anyway, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, also check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Twitter. Twitter is X. Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you guys follow us on all these social media platforms. Also check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch. Go copy some new merch. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. Until next time, I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard.
I'm Roger Sierra.
And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.